I'm really glad to be here with you this evening. So please turn with me to Psalm of David, Psalm 48. This psalm have been in my mind for so many weeks and months, and I'm really thinking about it again and again. So I'm focusing my subject this evening on verse 14, the last verse of this psalm, and my subject will be based on this, but I will go through the psalm to show how beautiful is this verse as it is written in the Word of God. So my subject is confidence in God. But let me read verse 14 again. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. This is a psalm that was sung by the people of the Lord, and the people of the Lord singing hymns and psalms in the Old Testament, and the people of the Lord have known God in their life, tested His goodness and kindness and mercy, and they from time to time witnessed about it. So one of the witnesses of the people of the Lord is written in this psalm, and I call the message confidence in God, but I call it in general the testimony or witness of the people of God, if we like to take the whole psalm. So in verse 14, the people said, for this God is our God. Of course, when they were saying this, they linked the 13 other verses beforehand with the concluding verse, verse 14. And they say, for, because, or for this reason is the idea. And they said, this God is our God forever and ever. So they are telling about their God and who He is and how much confidence they have in on this amazing God. So I have three headings. The first heading would be like this: confidence based on who God is. So they have a confidence based on who God is. God, for them, generally speaking, was mentioned from verse 1 to verse 9 in several ways. And the first one, if you consider the first verse, it says, great is the Lord. Our God, they are saying, on whom we have confidence, is great. In fact, the greatness of God cannot be measured. No one, no pastor, no angel, no one in this entire universe can explain the greatness of God. Great is the Lord, our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. We sang, you remember, the hymn number 195. It says the same thing. The Lord, our God, is great. He's great. His greatness cannot be measured. And He is the eternal sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. He is great in His wisdom. And He's great in His knowledge. He is great in His kindness. So the confidence the people of God has was based on who He is. He is the great God. And verse 3, when we come, I'm passing a few verses. So when we come to verse 3, it says, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. You heard this reading. And God is known in her palaces means in the house of the Lord, in the Old Testament, the Church of Jesus Christ. He is known from the beginning of the history of humanity up to the present time and in eternal futurity. God is a refuge. He is known a refuge. Just ask Abraham. And if you ask Abraham, who is God to you? He will tell you, my God is my refuge. And I found peace in Him. I found rest in Him. I found comfort in Him. I found strength in Him. God is known as a refuge. Just you can mention a few people like Noah. And if you ask Noah, who is God for you? He will tell you the same thing. In that global flood, God, my God, on whom I put my trust, was my refuge. He was my refuge, my peace, my comfort, my strength, my keeper, my guard. He is known like that, God, our God. So these people had that amazing confidence on who God is. And my next idea, based on this Psalm of David, Psalm 48, if you consider verse 4 to verse 7, you see amazing thing mentioned. The enemy of God and the enemy of his people assembled together to fight against God and to fight against his people. And they all feared him. You know, we have enemy in this world, the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our service to the Lord, the enemy of our well-being. We are attacked from several directions, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the enemy saw the Lord God, they feared him. They trembled before his presence. I know because of so many things in this world going on, some people are afraid of Satan. Satan, of course, is dangerous. But our Lord God is above Satan. His mighty power is never resisted by Satan. So don't fear is the message. We don't fear. We don't fear anything because our God is feared by his enemies. He is great and he is powerful. No power in this entire universe can withstand him. So this is the confidence of the people of God on who God is. If you come to verse 9, I must pass them quickly to go to my second heading. Verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. They said this, and they mentioned this by saying, we have thought of thy loving kindness. These people were in the house of the church, in his temple, because it says, we have thought thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are made to think about one most important thing, that is his loving kindness. It's amazing, the loving kindness that is written in the Old Testament, if you can correspond and find equivalent meaning, you can find grace as equivalent meaning of loving kindness. God is loving, at the same time kind. Many people are kind, but you might see unlovingness in them. And many people might say, we are loving, and they might show up lovingness, but they might be kind. But in our God, in his character, you can see love and kindness united in him. He is both love and kindness. So this means he is merciful, he is gracious, he is so caring, and at a cost, of course, in his kindness. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the loving kindness, love and kindness combined in him on Calvary Cross. His compassion, his love, his mercy demonstrated for us on Calvary Cross. So they say, we have thought, we are having devotion or thinking and rethink and think about one amazing aspect of your character, your loving kindness in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our God was seen by his people as I'm explaining now. So they were thinking and they were putting their confidence because he is generally like this. And verse 10, I will mention briefly verse 10 and I'll go to my second heading. In verse 10, it says, according to thy name, his name is great, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. They mention, we have confidence in him because in his right hand, in his mighty power, there is full of righteousness. So because of his righteousness, we put our confidence on him. So confidence in God, because he is great. Confidence in God, because he is refuge. Confidence in God, because he is feared by his enemies and by your enemies as well. Confidence in God, because of his loving kindness. Confidence in God, because of his righteousness. So my second heading, in based on verse 14, looks like this. It says, "For this God is our God forever and ever." Our confidence is on God. And my first heading, as you have heard me, is on who he is. That means on his character, on his attribute. What about us? Who is for us? We know in general God is the creator of heaven and earth, but who is he for us? So my second heading says like this, confidence on who God is for us, or for you, is my second heading. Who is God for you? He is great. Of course he is great. Is that greatness belonged to you? Is that greatness embraced by you? This is the idea when we read the first part of verse 14. For this God is our God. They are saying this God, described in five different points I mentioned throughout the psalm, they say, we have confidence in him because he is our God. He is our God. That means he belongs to us. Just like if I say, this is my book, I'm declaring to you, this is my possession, and this belongs to me. Just like that, the people of God is saying, God is our God. He is something that is belongs to us, is the idea of this explanation. So, God is your God. If you are a true believer, God is yours, like a possession. You possessed him. And he is yours. And of course, they mentioned here in my second heading that God, this God, they say, is our God. But how long, you might ask? They say, forever and ever. God is mine forever and ever. I am thinking like this when I study this particular verse. You know, I mentioned this, if this is mine, I can't say this is mine. But you might ask, how long is yours? How long is this book is yours? And being a human being, and being in a normal mind, I cannot say this is mine forever. You have house, some of you, and some of you have cars. And if somebody asks you, how long will be this car going to be yours? You cannot say in a normal mind, this house is mine forever and ever. You cannot say that. Because you know, inside, instinctively, we know that we will leave it one day. And we know, in human history, people left so many things behind. So, we cannot say for sure. And that is madness if we say this home is my home forever and ever, because it is not us. It is not ours. But there is one thing you can say definitely. This is mine forever and ever. So this is the confidence of the people of God. God is mine for how long? Forever and ever. And that is true. We say people who are departed from us, they are in glory. Yes, they are in glory. And God is theirs forever and ever. So they are with him and he is with them. But it is sad really when you think our possession that can remain with us. If we are unbelievers, imagine what is going to remain with us forever and ever. That is sin and that is punishment. But if we trust in God and if we have confidence in God, he will be with us and we shall be with him. Forever and ever. Because this God is our God for how long? Forever and ever. If you don't trust God, you are in a miserable condition. Because you will not have God forever and ever. But these people say, we have confidence in God. Because he is our God forever endeavor. I didn't mention in my first heading the technicality of the arrangement of the word this God. You know, this particular word this is a demonstrative pronoun in English language. And demonstrative pronoun can demonstrate things for us instead of a noun, but when it is alone by itself, when it is attached with something noun, when it follows a noun, it became an adjective. That's why the nature of God is mentioned, should be mentioned from this God. This God, being this an adjective, shows us how God's name and character is qualified by that particular word, amazing word, this, attached to the name of God. So this is my second heading. So I must challenge you by asking this question. Is God your God? Truly your God? So if he is your God, you must rejoice in God, because he will be yours forever and ever. If God is not yours, you must come to him, repent your sins, and trust on him for your salvation. But my third heading is like this. Let me read the whole verse. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So what will God our confidence on what God is going to do is my third heading. So what is he going to do if he is great God? At the same time, if it is my God and your God, what is he going to do for us is my third heading. So these people have a confidence what he is going to do for them. What will he do for us and for you? They mentioned he will be our guide forever and ever. Some translations say forever and ever. This the version I am reading, it says he will be our guide even unto death. But when you see the Hebrew version from which the English is translated, you see he will be our guide even beyond death, is what it says. It's not only up to death. In my country, we have a saying that maybe it is taken from English idiomatic saying. We say, horse will take you to a war, but he will not fight for you. There is nothing in the Bible like that. God will take us through, and he will never leave us. Go, I put you up to this level, and that's up to you. He never says like that. He will carry us through. I know some of us are going through difficult situation, ups and downs of life, and bitterness of the situation we are in. And sometimes we fear because we think God never think about us and so on. But don't say that. He will be your guide. They have this confidence. He will be our guide even beyond death. He will take us through ups and downs, through shadows of death. But he will never us, even if we pass through death. So in this life, he will be your guide. It's amazing privilege to be the people of the Lord because of what our Savior did on Calvary Cross. Because of him, we are saved. And because of him, we are his people. And because of him, we are in the congregation of the people of the Lord. And because of him, he will guide us through ups and downs. He will carry us through. And he will never, never leave us. This is the confidence of the people of God when they say, he will be our guide, but beyond this. Not only up to death, beyond death, forever and ever. Maybe we can check what is going on, what God will do before death throughout the Bible. And the people of God, after death, they are in glory. I mentioned it earlier, and we will be in glory. Psalm of David, Psalm 73, verse 24 says, he will guide me by his counsel And afterward, it says, he will receive me into glory, it says. So he will receive us into glory. But as long as we are here, he will be our guide. Through suffering, through ups and downs, through pains, and through sickness, and through poverty, and through riches. So these all have their own impact in the life of people. So confidence in God is to be part of our life. Because of who God is, we must have confidence on Him. Because of who we are in terms of Him, because He is our God, we must have confidence on Him. And not only for a time being, but He is ours forever and ever. And because of what He is going to do for us, we must have confidence on Him. Some people are foolish because they are thinking that this world and human imagination, secular humanism, and so many false ideas can guide them through. But all are false promises. When I'm speaking about guidance, in my, I'm going to my conclusion. You know, in this world, every human being, every individual human being needs guidance. Children needs guidance. Ladies needs guidance. And husband and wife needs guidance. You know what the worldly people are doing in seeking guidance? If you are from East, or if you would be from, if you were from East, you would look for palm readers. There are so many palm readers. You give $50 or £50, they read your palm, and they will tell you, you will be like this and this. That is false promise and false guidance. And so many people in my country, they we like coffee. And when we drink coffee, ladies prepare coffee and give us coffee. After the end of drinking coffee, they turn it they turn the cup down and they start reading the mark of the leftover of the coffee. And they say, you will be like this and that. And it's amazing. It's crazy. And so many people will go to witchcrafters to get some kind of guidance. And so many people, when they go out early in the morning, if a cat crosses them, they will never go out from their houses because that is a bad idea for them. And so many places, you know, so many people, you know, they gaze the stars and they have their own name, stars name. They are given. Astrologers, they are looking for stars, for guidance. But here, our God puts Himself humbly to be your guide. He will be our guide forever and ever, even unto this. So put our confidence and put your confidence on Him. And let me assure you, He will never, never leave you without guidance. So trust on Him, pray to Him, and you will know and you will see for sure that God is guiding you. And He guides you up to now. And He will continue guiding you.